Hello and welcome to the special podcast, the market podcast powered by Money Control. Well, my name is Shatish Anand, and today I have with me a very special guest, Nikhil Kamath, who's a co-founder and CIO, TrueBeacon and Zerodha. Welcome to the podcast, Mr. Kamath.
Hi, Shatish. How are you doing?
Good, good. Well, the first question I wanted to put it across to you is that, you know, we are at the same juncture ahead of the budget as we were back in the year 2020. In fact, you know, the only difference is that we are near 50,000 on the Sensex ahead of the budget. And we all want the party to keep running, you know, but history suggests that we do see some consolidation ahead of the budget or post the event. What are your views for the year 2021?
So from the market point of view, Shitij, I don't think the market needs anything today. The way it has been going up and continues to go up, if it needs anything, is something which will neuter the whole, you know, sea of optimism that is out there right now. So from the market's point of view, I don't think to shore up sentiment, we need anything. Mm-hmm. But structurally, there are a bunch of changes which would help foreigners come into the country. It will help domestic investors do better. And I'm going to talk about changes which will not necessarily be a big loss on the exchequer. I think net-net, considering that it's a pandemic year and there has to be plenty of money which has to be spent on the whole host of people and industries which have not done well, let me try and make suggestions which are revenue neutral, net-net.
Right. And what are your big expectations from the finance minister in the year 2021 from a PMS and brokerage industry point of view?
See, the one thing we've been asking for a long, long time now, in every budget, this thing comes up about security transaction tax. This is a tax which is charged not on income. So if an investor buys something at 100 and sells the same thing at 100, he still has to pay this tax. And it kind of like makes the impact cost in India higher relative to our peers, and discourages investment, which is not something that the government wants to do, or something which is kind of like required in the market. I think in a country as large as India, with only, you know, under 5% access to stock markets, we need to really encourage more people allocating their savings to equity, more people utilizing equity investments as a means to diversify their portfolios. Mm-hmm. So I think this STT thing is really not helping. It wasn't around forever. I think Chidambaram introduced it in his term. Mm-hmm. But doing away with STT will probably in turn bring in so much more volume and so much more interest in the equity markets, mm-hmm, that the government can very easily cater for the loss of revenue that they face from not having charged this tax. So STT is one. I would say it's the biggest one, mm-hmm, the need of the hour for us today, from the brokerage perspective.
That's right.
From a larger market perspective, I would say there are so many innovative companies in India. There are entrepreneurs who have started companies like Flipkart, to Ola, to Swiggy, to Licious, to all these companies which have scaled significantly. Many of these guys do not come to the stock markets in India and instead prefer to raise capital, which is available privately from the West or from Southeast Asia, from VCs and PE funds and the likes of that. I don't think that is fair to the Indian population. I think we as citizens of the country should be allowed to be stakeholders, shareholders in these large domestic companies which have innovated and scaled in India. And they primarily cater to the Indian audience, to our marketplace. So it is a requirement that the government eases up the norms around, you know, companies listing on the public markets in India. Mm-hmm. It should be easier for, say, a Flipkart to do an IPO. Flipkart should not have had to go to Walmart. You know, they should have come to the people, the citizens of the country, to raise funding when they needed it. There is a lot of banter.
Right.
about how this will change in the next year and how many of these companies are listing. But when you go down to, you know, like reading and researching it, it seems like a lot of them are using the Spark method and instead listing on foreign exchanges outside of the country. And I think that is just detrimental to, you know, the whole point of equity markets in India. And I think to kind of like not allow our retail to be able to participate in what could be essentially the growth story of India over the next decade, I don't think is fair. So that's from a larger retail perspective. And from the asset management perspective, Cat3 alternate investment funds are a great way to bring capital into the country. A lot of foreigners come in through this route. Also, it's a great way to provide domestic investors with a mechanism to hedge long-only portfolios. Every other asset management product does not allow you to as efficiently hedge upside risk as a Category 3 AIF, especially with where the markets are today, how much they have run up. We need to really incentivize people who are coming in through the Category 3 AIF ecosystem, people who are entering hedged positions. There are a couple of inefficiencies or structural changes that need to be changed here. I would say the first one is we need pass-through taxation. I don't see why the fund manager has to be liable to figure out what is the applicable tax and pay the tax. Right. It should be the end user, you know, if he's coming in as a partnership, as an individual, as a corporation, the tax calculation and paying of that tax should be the responsibility of that user. And this makes zero difference to the government because they get taxed a little bit later and they get taxed from many tiny investors versus one fund. But net-net, the revenues they're earning is the same.
Right.
I think this will make a huge difference and the government definitely has to do something about it. And I think this can be a great tool. A Category 3 alternate investment fund can be a great sales pitch for India across the world. And in many cases, what happens is if a foreigner, you know, wants to invest into India by virtue of coming in through this route,
right,
if he finds it not very conducive because of our policies, he will, you know, go and do this somewhere else. He'll go to a Singapore, to an SGX, or to another geography where it is more tax efficient and structurally easier for him to do it. I don't think we should lose that opportunity out to people who are competition to us in a way.
Right. In fact,
as a country.
Point well taken, Mr. Kamath. And, you know, another thing is that the only way Sensex and Nifty probably moved in 2020 post-March was largely in one direction, and that was on the upside. So what would you advise new age investors for the year 2021?
I would say be careful. Right now, markets are going up on, you know, all kind of news. If it's neutral news, markets go up. If it's bad news, markets go up. If it's good news, markets go up. That is scary. And the relentless nature of this rally should make people cautious. Nobody can call the top of a market or the bottom of a market. So I'm not going to try and attempt that.
True.
But it would be fair to say that where we are today compared to our historical average is expensive. It's probably one of the most expensive times we have seen in the past few decades. I think we're at over 40 times multiple today. And earnings, while they might have shot up in the very near past over the last quarter, we still don't know if it's truly demand coming back or is it pent-up demand which will dry up in, you know, the next couple of months.
Right, right.
And also around COVID, I mean, I don't think we can stay immune as a country from all the damage that COVID can cause if all of our peers, our economies across the world, from America to UK to Europe to Southeast Asia, if all of these people are really getting so affected by the second wave and locking down, I would fathom a guess and say it's only but a matter of time before, you know, COVID comes back to bother us again.
Right.
So we should be careful. We should be cautious, especially at this juncture, and not take undue risks, stay in hedged positions, diversify portfolios, not put all your money into, you know, one stock or one sector, even diversify across asset classes. If you only have equity, buy some gold, buy some fixed income, and get exposure to things which will do okay if the markets were to correct.
All right. A word of caution there from Mr. Kamath, but definitely, you know, at this point in time when the market is actually rising on any news does make, you know, everyone scary at this point in time. But yes, that is the hard reality that most of the dips are getting bought and we are heading to new record highs almost on a daily basis. Now, how did your AIF perform in the year 2020 among the peers as well? And what was your strategy?
We maintain a strategy which is typically hedged. We hedge between 30 to 35% on average, but this number can go up to as much as 60, 70, 75%. At the current juncture, we have hedged about 54% of our long positions. The risk profile we are trying to achieve is if the market goes up, we want to be up 10%. We want to be up about 6%. If the markets go down, then we want to be down about 3 to 4. So that's what we're going after. In terms of performance for the last year, we've done well. It's largely because of the volatility that the pandemic brought with it. We do well when markets are volatile or when markets are correcting significantly. So most of our alpha, in fact, came in during the months of March and April when the markets were, you know, correcting like crazy and they were being really, really volatile.
Okay. Right. And did you get your strategy building technique after playing chess in your early years?
Not really, Kshitij. I think chess is kind of like largely unrelated to the stock markets. Stock markets are a lot more chaotic because chess, there are two people and all the conditions on the table are a factor of what you or your opponent is doing. But in equity markets, there are 100 moving parts and 100 different factors, which A, you cannot control, nor can you perceive. So I would not say chess, but I would say a good way to arrive at decent stock market strategies is to go back in time enough. Often people backtest a strategy for 5 years or 10 years and they come to the conclusion that, okay, this works. But I think you need to take a much larger set of data, but actually look back at different cycles which might have happened 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 60 years ago. If you don't have that data for India because we're relatively a newer market, you can take that data off a Western market because these trends are generally common to markets across the world. So a lot more data, historical data, will probably help you arrive at better strategies for tomorrow.
Right. Well, on that note, thank you so much, Mr. Kamath, and listeners for tuning into this edition of Special Podcast. But do stay logged on to moneycontrol.com for more on news, business, and economy. Again, thank you so much for your time, sir.
Thank you, Kshitij.